the U.S. Open's just started tennis. I recently read an article where it was quoting, I don't know his name, don't care to know his name, the president of USTA.
And oh, yes, I saw this.
I have never seen somebody at that level of a position so obviously terrified of a sport as this guy is.
Yeah.
He's even like just saying, like, you know, pickleball versus tennis, like, is that even a question? Like, stuff like that. And so they're starting this red ball tennis, which is just a very soft tennis ball, still using tennis racket, used on a smaller court. But they're trying to do, because they're so pissed that pickleball is taking over so many tennis courts, is they asked him, like, is this played on a regular tennis court? He's like, no, it needs to be on a smaller court. The perfect size court to do to play red ball tennis on is actually a pickleball court.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
Can you give me a tour?
A tour of the room? I mean,
just like, what are you on? Are you on your computer or your phone?
I'm on my iPad. Like, there's the view of you can see like half of the nice buildings, and then you get like, you know,
yeah, some
air roof conditioner type stuff, and then the room is just, I mean, it's a nice new room. It's a nice new room.
It's lovely. So. Yeah, we were talking about it. It's only been open what, 2 months, and the amount of dirty, raunchy things that have happened there, the number's pretty low right now, which has got to be nice.
Yeah, that's what I said. Is there's only like 3 people's hair in my room instead of 30. So, you know, that's what you love. But yeah, no, we got the scoop from the Uber driver. So apparently, like 2008 financial crisis, investors pulled out. They pulled out at a couple different spots. So it's been like almost 20 years in the process to build this place. And finally,
some
Japanese guys jumped in and gave some funding and made it happen. So I think it's only been open 2 months or 3 months or something like that. So it's new. It's new. That's for sure.
How big is it? Like, you know, when I think about Vegas, I think about like all the massive hotel. Like, this is gigantic casino hotel.
Like full on lost, you know, easy to lose. Like, there's a whole different set of elevators to go to the ballroom where the courts are, and the guest elevators and all this. And it was the same thing in Salt Lake. So this is back to back weekends. We were at the Salt Palace in Salt Lake, which was 987,000 square feet.
Was that a convention center? What is Salt Palace?
It is. Okay. It's a convention center. So it used to be an arena. So the Jazz used to play there. And they redid it and made, there was like veteran, there was a veteran thing there. They had all these different types of things set up. So, yeah.
No furries?
No furries. I don't know when that
can be. Only the APP finds the furry conventions. That's right.
Perfect timing. Yeah. So there's been some good ones. The furries on the APP. We had Biker Week in Daytona for a PPA. So
that's right.
wild stuff going on. But both
Adam, places. Two indoor tournaments.
Spacious.
It's spacious, indoor, and spacious, it looks clean, indoor. Dude.
Yeah, that's right.
You got the carpet, you got the nice courts. It just looks so good.
Yeah, no, I'm with it. I can't complain. A regulated temperature, consistent regulated temperature.
Are we on? But gotta be careful. Cramping weather.
Cramping, you know, when you least expect it. Right?
When that AC when that AC's blowing, you gotta watch out.
You don't even think about it. You don't even think about it. So
that's when you don't drink water.
That's when it that's when it happens. You know. I mean, you know clearly.
I know. Does are we on rollout courts?
Yeah, rollout courts. So not pickle roll. I believe I do not think it was me, but a couple commentators in SLC. I don't even know who it was. Mentioned that it was Pickroll. It's not. It is Acrotech Sports Surface. So they
Acrotech has rollout now.
They do. So this is it's a new situation. Yeah. So they normally they normally do the standard surface for the PBA events on the outdoor courts, and so now that they have a role situation. So really the only
How are they playing?
Well, so in Salt Lake it was on concrete. So that
for Spiney's just hearing
that does affect the body a little bit, but the play was relatively clean. Now, yeah. I don't know. Here in Vegas, it's on carpet, so there's wooden planks, so that they had to bring in.
This is tough on carpet.
Yeah, to put the roll so that it wouldn't be so soft on the carpet. So I don't know yet. I have not. This is my first day of commentary. This being what day is it? Wednesday. But it is a cup, which is a few extra points, and it's a progressive draw. So I get to know which is nice for me. So I get to know my matchups and kind of do some research on them. So Wednesday all the way through Sunday for me, progressive draw, and it's Vegas, baby.
Yeah, please ask an interview questions on how it's playing. I'm curious on how it would be on the wood planks, because only time I've done it on carpet and wood, and this is early days, right? Was at the New York Stock Exchange, and it did not bounce well. Obviously, concrete versus wood, right? So it's not going to bounce,
right?
But I'm sure it's. I mean, I know it's gotten so much better since then, because that was 2022. So, that's cool. And I never thought about that. Really, is that and I haven't thought about it because I haven't commentated very much. But having set matchups for you has to be huge, right? Like, you can actually talk about like the history of the matchups. Like, it's so much more insight versus what you're getting. Like, okay, that match finished. This match is rolling on. Didn't know this was a matchup until 20 minutes ago when they finished their last match.
Yep.
And you just have to go off the cuff versus being able to actually like research when's the last time they played together. When's the last time this matchup happened? It's got to be just such a better, for you, a better experience, to a little bit more work because you have to do a little research. But it's so much better knowing that insight.
Of course, it's not even close. So you can talk to the players. I mean, I'm not just gonna, talk to everyone or plan for every single possible matchup that could happen in a draw that happens in one day. So this is significantly better for me. Talk to the players, get some insight, have a couple little nuggets, and just tell the stories a little bit. I mean, that it's an important part of it. It's an important part of it. That's draws in the casual fan and the casual watcher when there is some personality or there's a story that you can lead up and connect it to the person who's now playing a professional sport. And I think that that's a pretty big deal, actually.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think I have yet to play a progression draw, but I like them. I like being able to know, okay, early in the day, we're going to have singles, then, it's going to roll into mix and finish with gender, which is my favorite to watch. And that's later in the evening. So it's fun. I like the setup of it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I fear for a couple of my matches today, because it is round of 32. So we have a couple lopsided matches. There's a couple that should be close on paper, but a couple, poor ladies playing Annalie and Catherine in the round of 32. You never know. Things can happen, but
Those could be lopsided championship Sunday. So
right. So I would be correct. So I expect a couple of these matches to go quick. It's extremely nice, and I think, people don't like to change. So I think maybe there was a little pushback from players about the new draw. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think that they're on board with the progressive, and they just kind of understand that the benefits outweigh, a couple of those things that, maybe they don't like about it. So I am fully on board.
I like it. This is a side note, a little bit of a tangent, it's not on your agenda, I promise you.
Please.
But obviously the US Open's just started tennis in New York, Flushing Meadows. And I recently read an article where it was quoting, I don't know his name, don't care to know his name, but the president of USTA. And
yes, I saw this.
I have never seen somebody at that level of position so obviously terrified of a sport as this guy is.
Yeah.
He, like, they're starting this red ball tennis, And he's even like just saying, like, you know, pickleball versus tennis, like, is that even a question? Like, stuff like that. And and the funny part is they're starting this red ball tennis, which is just a very soft tennis ball, still using tennis racket, used on a smaller court. And what they're trying to do, because they're so pissed that pickleball's taking over so many tennis courts, is they asked him, like, is this played on a regular tennis court? He's like, no, it needs to be on a smaller court. The perfect size court to do to play red ball tennis on is actually a pickleball court. So he's trying to take back some of, or trying to punish pickleball and trying to get people to use these pickleball courts for red ball tennis because we've taken so many of their courts. So I just thought it was super petty. This guy is obviously clearly scared of pickleball.
Should be.
And what other federations are doing around, and organizations, associations around the world are doing, are embracing it because it means more revenue for them. Like if you're looking at like Tennis Australia, you know, they've embraced pickleball. They understand that a lot of people are playing and that it's a revenue generator for them, or it can be. And USTA, just I thought they were coming around based on some things I've heard about embracing pickleball a little bit more. But, you know, the head of the USTA's quotes are very not going down that path. So I just, yeah, they're gonna be in for a big fight.
Yeah, annoying news. I mean, annoying noise from the pickleball courts. He had three or four different quotes.
And, yeah, he did.
And that's exactly what it was. Fear. That's what I fear, thought. Fear, dude. Pure, complete, total fear from that man. Taking his infrastructure. And I think you're right. It's, you can't beat him, join him. You have to find a way to coexist. This is going nowhere, and it is going nowhere very, very fast. So he better figure something out and try to play nice, or it's going to be an issue for tennis. So, I mean, you know, tennis still doing just fine.
Especially,
but pickle's on the creep, man. It's creeping hard.
Like, even looking at like the pickle events pre US Open, like, you have an Alcaraz out there with you know, Eric Ontzens and Millie Rain and Djokovic and Callie Smith, and it's like this, like, there's pickleball featured events pre US Open tennis. Like, if you think this is just fading away,
right,
you're out of your mind.
So head gets it.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah. US, yeah, head, yeah, gets it. Head gets it. They understand. They know the potential and the, like you mentioned, the word revenue. They understand that it's important to have both for their company. But yeah, USTA not so much in that regard.
But even it's odd because, like, looking at even like French Open, Roland Garros, Jay Devilliers was in Paris playing pickleball on the red clay. Like, even the French Open has embraced it a bit, and you know, it's just, yeah, I wouldn't expect Wimbledon to be pickleball on their grass courts anytime soon, but it is interesting to see, like, even European places where it's pickleball so far behind the US is still embracing it more.
Yeah, and I had a connection to that article that you were talking about with the USTA guy. There was also a spinoff that said, intoxicated tennis player attacked pickleball players with a machete. I'm sure that had to happen perfect. In Florida. It had to have happened in Florida. No doubt.
While sniffing bath salts.
Yeah, exactly. Just something awful. So I was like, oh, okay, all right. This is all working out well together. No, that's important to note. And I saw those quotes. I mean, that is the guy. That is the top of the food chain of USTA, and he's just letting it fly.
It's embarrassing, dude.
It is. Embarrassing. I agree. You can't, like, it almost gives it legitimacy. And when you're saying things like that in that position, it just builds pickleball up more than tearing it down.
100%.
Yeah, that's wild stuff from such a high up position. Robert, you are in Chicago, Illinois right now, but you are recently in India playing a little pickleball tournament. I would love to hear all about it. Well, it's called the Monsoon.
Yeah, and the name's very fitting. It was, It like didn't rain the whole time, but dude, like, but it rained a lot. And when it did rain, it was the heaviest rain I've ever heard. And I say heard because where we played was at this Nesco, it's called Nesco Convention Center. And it's just like convention center. Think that, but not that.
But not.
So not that where we were playing, but the, I mean, this is where they have all of their big conferences, and like they had an AI conference going on in one of the halls. And so there's five different halls. We were in hall five, and it's just basically think like you walk in and you have just like pickleball courts, two going just down a very long way. So kind of long and narrow.
Okay.
But so all indoors, but kind of like the roof was, I mean, part of it was a tin roof kind of on the side. But when it rained, dude, it sounded like it was like, it just sounded insane. It was so loud, you know, rain on a tin roof loud anyways. But with this, it feels like somebody's like constantly pouring a bucket of water on it. Like that's how like heavy the rain was. Like if you walk outside, like it's, think about the best water pressure you've ever had in a shower.
Oh yeah.
It's that plus some in terms of like what this rain was like. Like you walk outside and you're in a shower right away. It was, yeah. So monsoon, it was dope. They all, Global Sports always does a really good job. Excited to see what the event's like in February now that they are aligned with the PPA in terms of hosting that event. So I, you know, hopefully a lot of the PPA players go over because it's such a, yeah, dude, it's such a cool experience just to be able to use pickleball to travel to different places and see different cultures. And, you know, India is India. It's obviously got like a big wealth discrepancy, you know, it can be very, you know, low, zero income in some places, very poor. And then you have, you know, some of the most expensive real estate on the planet in Mumbai, which a lot of people don't realize. I mean, there's real estate that's much more expensive than Manhattan in Mumbai. You look at South Mumbai, it's like, it's, you know, 1,000 square foot apartments going for a few mil. So it's, not something you'd expect, but it's such a cool experience just to be able to see different places like this. And I hope PPA gets a lot of players to go because, yeah, the sport's only growing in India, even going last October and seeing like all the players I coached then for the first time. As kind of the first pro level player to go, to see like the players I taught then, to see where they're at now and to see their growth and how much better they've gotten is really cool to see. I don't know why somebody's calling me on this Hampton Inn phone. Oh, I got a delivery from Selkirk actually. Selkirk sending me paddles.
Oh,
one second. I'll take this at the same time. One second.
Okay.
Hello. They hung up. But yeah, no, that's a Selkirk delivery, for my Lux paddle that I need for this weekend. So okay, I only got one paddle left.
Why do they even have phones or alarm clocks in hotel rooms anymore? I don't know.
Dude,
I don't know.
It's so crazy. Phone I get, but
they have your number. They know your cell phone.
Yeah,
number.
That's true too.
I mean, they have that.
I don't know if you know this, but I haven't checked a bag since probably 2005. So I'm going on 20 years of no check bags. I only carry on. And what's made that really easy for me over the past couple years are Selkirk backpacks. Because little do people know, you get a personal item and a carry-on on most carriers. And both items are big backpacks. I carry them on. I fill both of them to the brim. And they both count as carry-on, so I don't have to check a bag. It's important.
No, I'm right there with you. And that's the big boy. And I am past my playing days, so I do one big boy and one little smaller fella here that I can take with me from the hotel to the venue every single day. Leave the big boy there. Don't check bags. Get yourself some Selkirk gear. Small, medium, big, you need it.
I don't have the small. I need the small. Somebody send me the small. Big, yeah, you're right, because small. I can put my little laptop and I don't have to take the big one. It's important. Selkirk, send me a small. I'll buy it.
Anyway, I wanted to touch on what you said, is that what pickleball does is allows you to have boots on the ground anywhere you go. So we've talked multiple times because I've been on a trip or two where you had a buddy in that locale, and it helps so much to know the places, what to do, what not to do. So that's what pickleball provides, is instant boots on the ground. Anywhere you want to go, you have a connection to someone, especially as a pro player. And that just makes traveling even better than it already is.
Dude, it's everything. Like when I went last October, I stayed with Yuvi, who we had on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, talk about just a first-class experience all the way. Is, you know, I didn't have to worry about anything. And going into a country like India, where it can be incredibly overwhelming, incredibly stressful if you're not prepared for it, and two, if you don't know what you're doing, it can be hit by a wall.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about any of that. They take care of the players so well. You know, they put us up at the Westin, which is only 10 minutes from the venue. They had shuttles going back and forth. The Westin was great. Mostly we had some issues, but it had nothing to do with the sport, but we had some issues with the Westin. But, no, it was a beautiful hotel. And that's where everybody stayed. They just take care of you. They make sure you're having a good experience. I look forward to doing more stuff over there. It's huge having boots on the ground.
Yeah. And so what would you say, is there like a particular style of the Indian players or some of the Southeast Asian? You mentioned how you've seen their growth. I know that, that you guys did. I know you ended up in the finals and men's and this and that, but close matches, what kind of talent do they have? What kind of play do they bring to pickleball court?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the top of them, you have Harsh and Arman. I put those guys as, you're talking probably quarters at least of every APP type deal.
Okay.
Which isn't easy. Like nowadays, it's tougher. Everybody's good. I would say, quarters minimum, and there's tournaments where they might get a final or dub.
Sweet.
So good players. Good players. The one wild thing that's gonna be wild for a long time, Adam, is lack of regulation.
Okay.
No paddle testing. There's a lot, dude. I can't even tell you how. I mean, this was like talk about the Wild West with how paddles are now, and the dude. I'm talking clean winners from like the baseline with two guys at the net.
Just like a little bit.
And it's gonna. It's part of it now. Like if you go play internationally, you better know that these tournaments aren't testing anything, they don't have testing standards. They have standards, but they don't have the equipment. They don't have the capabilities. And it doesn't make sense to yet. In a lot of these cases, these are bigger prize money tournaments still, right? In Delhi, there's a 50K tournament coming up in China, and I think in December there's a 100K tournament. Like we're not talking tiny tournaments,
right?
And you're able to play with whatever you want, and it's scary. And it's not fun, to be honest. It creates a very unlevel playing field. It's such an advantage. I can't even begin to explain how big of an advantage it is. When you have a ball going a few miles per hour faster, it makes all the difference. If you're hitting a ball above the net from the midcourt with a D-lam, the point's over, essentially. Like, there's not a whole lot you can do. If you're taking a ball from here, from the midcourt even, it's over. Like, that's a huge deal. Whereas then typically, you're going to lose that point, or you're going to drop and have to come earn the point at the kitchen. It just creates such a unreal advantage, and not even mentioning like the serve. Like you're either going to get a free point on the serve, or you're going to get a really, really weak third where you can drive it again. And like it creates a whole different dynamic to the sport and to the game that I don't like, and it's just too far, but it's going to happen internationally, so you have to be ready for it.
Yeah, it's it's a process, you know. We're light years ahead here in the States, and it's still trying to get fully sorted.
We're still behind.
Yeah, right. So, they're just trying to put on a solid event over there. And, you know, I think we're at a place here where paddle testing is the top, if not one of the top issues. They're not quite there yet on the international front. So, I mean, we would never even consider 3 years ago in the States talking about paddle testing. There were so many other things to handle and take care of. But I think a lot of the wild stuff has happened since I stopped playing. But I've been on the court, I think, two times specifically where I was playing against a wild paddle, and it is insane, the differences of it and the advantage that it gives. Even if it's just 5 mph or whatever from a standard ball, the timing, everything is different when you have a paddle in play like that. Also over there, Rob, you got, I would guess would be your first look at Quang Duong and your first look at Jay DeVilliers in quite some time. We used to battle all the time with that guy, you know, years ago. Any thoughts on their game? I know it was in men's, it was a tight 2 games, in the final.
Yeah.
Thoughts on their game, good and bad, from what you see from those two?
Yeah, it was about as expected, I would say. That was a tough one to lose. I didn't think we should have lost it. Just some loose errors here and there. And then I'm on the left, which is whatever. it's not where I want to be. It's not where I want to be, but, first time playing with Ryler in a little bit too, outside of the English Open. We were struggling a little bit on who's taking what in the middle. Like my forehand, I like my forehand on dinks in the middle, especially because I feel, you know, that's why I like being on the right. I feel like there's a lot I can do with my forehand, off the balance particularly. And we were struggling a little bit with who's taking that middle ball. But I would say in terms of playing against them, about what I expected. I feel, you know, Jay was about what I thought and about like what I remember in terms of what he does well and what he struggles with. I think Quang, it's hard to say. I mean, good, right? Didn't make a ton of errors, but I feel like the backhand dink is very exploitable. I think he takes it too far out wide a lot, and you can, you know, that opens up the ATP, which I think I had a couple. But I think I would have won that cross court dink back. I don't know. We should have gone back to that more. Just me cross court with Quang and just like been relentless on that, because I think we win if we do that. So, I think that's always the problem with the two handed roll, especially if you like to take it wide. Is that, you know, if you're playing somebody that has a decent, you know, backhand ATP, which I'd like to think I do because I can hook it pretty well. It's gonna cause some problems, even if you can defend the ATP well, which is turning into a thing. I think Anna Bright did a little tweet on it, but it's still a tough shot to defend. It's not like you're just hitting a dink back. Like defending an ATP is still hard, especially to keep it in the kitchen. You know, it's not an easy shot. So, I think he did a lot of things well, Quang. He plays differently in doubles. He's ripping some balls from the midcourt, which we didn't have too many problems with. He just volley it back. We were expecting it because I've seen it quite a bit. I thought Quang's good. I think he's got a lot of room to grow in dubs, which is good to see. And he takes it very seriously. He treats it like a real, like, you know, him, his brother's a trip, dude.
His brother's hilarious.
Bao is the man, dude.
He is the man.
The things Bao and I talked about was just absurd.
Yeah.
Because he might be my favorite person in pickleball now.
And he's like very sharp and witty. And you don't think of him as like a 14-year-old kid, you know? You're like, this is like a college-age kid, and we're just having a little back and forth here. So I love Bao.
Bao's 14?
Yeah, he's 14.
Stop.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. He's like,
I thought Bao was older than Paul.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, so he's always roaming around the facility, and whenever I'm looking for some rec, we'll like he's a great, like, oh, Bao, there's Bao. Come on over, Bao. Let's play. Yeah. And I mean, so
dude, he's the man.
Yeah. So that's good stuff. And,
I saw Bao in the draw at your tournament.
Yeah.
And he lost 12-10 to Tardio in the first. Pretty tight.
12-10 in the singles game. And I think he got pickled in the second, but whatever. 12-10 against Tardio. That's great. And Kwong and Bao actually played a decent amount together very early on. Like, you know, like a year, 18 months ago before Kwong kind of took a leap. So, that's funny stuff that, he's got the Bao connection too. Oh, Rob, I actually saw you get, you know, kind of like pickleball version of posterized. One of those beautiful backhand ATPs. Did somebody Ernie your ATP? Oh, I mean, wild, dude. Huh?
Oh, that one hurt. I was like, oh, this is an easy ATP. And this guy plays chaotic. His name's Jason Taylor.
Yeah.
Very nice guy.
Yeah, very nice.
Australian.
Okay.
Very nice guy. But like... like, think about, like, Connor Garnett when he first started playing, where he was just, like, even Colin Schick, where they're, like, great at singles, hit a really nice ball from tennis, but just, like, really chaotic and all over the place in doubles and just, like, doing stuff you shouldn't do. And but it sometimes works because you shouldn't be doing it, and you're like, why is he – what? And then it works. That's this guy. But – he, you know, really fast hands, great, you know, I would say good player, has really high potential to be very good. I think he was 160 ATP, like very high level tennis player.
Right.
So incredibly talented, 30 years old. So still relatively young for the doubles game. And I hit a backhand little hook ATP that I was like, oh, this is going to be pretty routine. He jumps the kitchen, and there's a camera angle on this that doesn't do it anywhere near justice. But he jumped the kitchen, came out of nowhere because I wasn't even expecting anybody to be there. And I hook it. He just swats it down with a forehand for a winner. And I'm just like, you psycho, where did you come from? But yeah, it just like put me to shame. I couldn't even, like, I was so like, I was like, what? I just turned around and like walked to the baseline. I was like, you know, screw this guy. I'm not going to tell him good shot, even though like it was a very good shot.
Yeah.
But it was cool. And it's like, talk about the talent level over there. Like, there is a good group of Australians that came over, and they're all training together and taking it very seriously as well, including this guy. There's a couple girls, Roos and Katie, who gave Megan Fudge and Susanna Barr quite a lot of trouble in England. I think they played they went to three games. The talent level's rising, dude, all over the world. And it's happened relatively quickly. So the more events that they're hosting internationally, the more exposure they have to US players coming over and practicing and playing, you know, the Indian group from Global came over to the US Open and played that. This is, dude, it's happening. They're coming. They're going to be very, very good. And I just have to accept it.
Come on over.
Yeah.
Drew.
That's great.
Yeah. I saw that one, and that was a pretty fun one. Actually Pablo Tellez did the same thing in the Salt Lake tournament.
I saw that.
And I remember the Kyle Yates one from a couple years ago when, Riley, you know, Riley with that good footwork on the ATP was often hitting him from deep in the court. Kyle just said, screw it. I'm going to Ernie this ATP work to perfection. So, you know, game's not solved.
It's interesting because there's so many ATPs that I've hit where, like, you know, the ATP, I'm getting pulled out wide. So it's also a look, and it looks like I'm going down for a dink. So it's also a place where people look for the Ernie a lot and they jump it.
Yeah, right.
So there's so many times where I've hit that, and I've actually like body bagged that person because they're looking for a dink Ernie and they're just standing right there, and I've bagged them. And this was that's probably happened, I don't know, 15, 20 plus times that where I've bagged somebody trying to Ernie my ATP, and this guy just swatted it for a winner. It was fun.
Attaboy. What? Jason Taylor. Attaboy.
Jason Taylor. Keep an eye on him.
There you go. All right. Robert, I have a little tip today. I saw this a couple times, even at the pro level, and I remember teaching this at the lower levels as well. And I think that, of course, recovery is very important after you hit a shot to get back into the proper court positioning. But I see it all the time where the shot is not executed and a player is recovering before the execution. And it seems something so simple, but I just continue to see it over and over and over again. So shot execution is more important than recovery. While even though recovery is very important, you have to execute the shot. And I've been seeing this on ground strokes from the back of the court where a player is in their athletic position, locked and loaded, ready to hit, and then they come out of the shot or possibly start recovering to the middle if they are pulled out wide, specifically in singles.
They pull off the shot first, and then so they're trying to move back, and they're pulling off the actual stroke.
They're trying to get back to where they're going before they execute the shot, and it creates an error.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens at the kitchen line with a dink out wide. A lot of times I'll just see a player down low in perfect position, knee bend, contact point out in front, and then they pull off and start their shuffle back to their set position at the kitchen line.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important to note, and I think it's easy for a player to not notice it. Hey, why did I miss this? Hey, my paddle was in good position. My knee bend was there, but they're recovering too early. So I just wanted to bring this up and remind you guys, especially the viewers at home, if you are having some issues with the dink, you're coming out of your shot, you're recovering too early, that is an issue. Once you execute, once the contact with the ball, you can start your movement and do your thing. But until that happens, make sure you execute your shot and don't have those unforced errors creep in.
Yeah, to me, it's like the equivalent in golf where you're looking to see where the ball goes before you complete the swing, right? Like you're pulling your head up. Versus like keeping your head down the whole time. So yeah, you gotta complete the shot, because if you don't, if you're trying to recover too quickly, you're one gonna miss the shot. You're not gonna hit it cleanly because you're not watching it the whole way through, and you're not set. Or two, you're gonna pop it up because you're trying to move and you're not gonna hit the ball the center of the paddle where you need to. And this brings up a good point, Adam, because I was first time I've really seen I was watching Kwong play Ryler DeHart in singles, and Ryler had a 10-3 lead in the second game, blew it, lost, I think, 12-10 that game.
Ooh.
But the one thing that really struck me with Kwong and singles versus especially like watching him versus Ryler, like Ryler, for his age, moves very well, covers a lot of the court, you know, pretty long, has good reach. But when you watch, Ryler's oftentimes moving his feet, and then he's lunging, he's reaching a lot. And, you know, that's credit to Kwong in terms of moving him around. But the one thing that I was really, really impressed with Kwong, and especially talking about in respect to, you know, not recovering too quickly and executing your shot, is not once did I see Kwong hit a ball in singles where he was off balance or stretching or reaching without his feet being set and executing the shot before he's recovering. And that's really hard to do in pickleball, especially in singles where you're often on the run a lot. Every ball he struck, his feet were there and he was planted and he was swinging through and executing the shot properly. And that was the one thing that just watching that really struck me, is how well he moves and how well he set for every single shot.
Yeah. And I agree.
And that's
completely
to your point.
Yeah. And that's, you know, part of that is being a teenager and having electric foot speed. But I mean, the amount of hours that he's putting in with Duke, his dad, like they're drilling. Yeah. I think we've even talked about it before on the pod. It is very serious stuff. And it doesn't even matter if this is like in between MLP events. He's got two matches in the day. They're putting in 3 hours of practice in between those matches. Just drilling, finding contact points, hitting the same stroke over and over and over again. And so you pair all that together, the physical skills, the work put in between on the practice court, that's what happens. You look the same on every single one of your shots, and you're not lunging except for very rare instances. So that's good on them, and that's what I think it's going to turn into. If you're not putting in the work, it will not matter how talented you are. And up until this point, talent has trumped work, because the player pool's a bit smaller. It's a new sport, and that's just not going to be the case anymore. Regardless of talent level, if you're not doing what you need to do, you're going to get passed by.
When there's money on the line and it's a game,
people will find a way to be good at it. And that's just what it is. Tiddlywinks, video games, or pickleball, does not matter. Someone will find a way. All right, Rob, let's look at some of these SLC results, the Salt Lake City Convention Center, and then maybe wrap it up there. I don't think we're going to have quite enough time to do a preview, and we can just recap this current Vegas tournament.
Let's go high level.
Early next week.
Let's go high level.
So, singles, Salt Lake City, we had Kate Fahey looking real good. Now, granted, we did not have Buckner, Alshon, Annalie, Catherine, or Ben in this draw, which... love watching them play. It was a little refreshing to see some new names and new teams running deep. Instead of making the quarterfinals, these teams were making the semifinals and championship Sunday. Kate Fahey looked fantastic. Moves extremely well. Played a big game. Lost to Brooke Buckner in the previous Kansas City event in a tight third match. Third game in the match. Caitlin Christian with silver and Zoe Wong with back to back bronze medals. Any thoughts on those singles medalists?
It's fun to have new blood.
It is.
Especially in women's singles. Like, we always saw kind of Brooke being right there in the mix. But anytime she's playing now, she's basically always in the semis. Like, she's playing really, really well.
Yeah, she is.
But yeah, to have Zoe, to have Kate Fahey. You have Lane Sleeth, who's a very accomplished tennis player that's coming over, same as Kate. Like, you're just gonna have the level continue to rise, which has been always kind of what we've wanted to see on the women's side, and it's happening. And yeah, like I said, I think however long ago, is like the lowest hanging fruit in all of professional sports is women's pickleball. If you're a high level tennis player from tennis and you're a female, play pickleball.
Come on over.
You'll make a career of it right away. You're going to make good money right away. I still think it's the case, actually. I think you have to be a very high level tennis player now on the female side. Like, you have to be a top level D1 female to really make an impact relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Or a low level pro, but it's still very, very doable. Even in India, I played with a girl named Mahika in mixed doubles, who's not there in doubles whatsoever, but you know, solid singles player already. But I mean, we're talking about somebody that was 30 ITF in juniors, played all the junior grand slams, and she wants to go all in at pickleball. So I think she's maybe underestimating how difficult it's going to be, like, playing wise, but hopefully she's got a taste of that even at the Monsoon, where doubles didn't go so well because she just doesn't know how to play yet.
Just don't know.
Just don't know. But singles, she's got it and she's got the strokes. But I think we're going to see more people like that in terms of a high level tennis background that want to make the jump. And not just in the US. I think, you know, she's a perfect example of even in India, she's like, well, how can I do this full time? So like that question's going to keep happening, which is great.
One of those names that you mentioned, Rob, Lane Sleeth, and I will pair her with Leia Jansen at the Salt Lake City tournament. I believe the name was Mariana Petrie beat both of them. It was her first tournament ever.
Yeah.
It was her first tournament ever.
Insane.
So, yeah. So, first people.
What's her background?
I believe it was tennis, and I think it was Idaho. One of those kind of PNW type states. And I did not get to call her match, but I heard the results and a bit of the backstory and how it was her first tournament, and that's wild, you know? I mean, Lane Sleeth, runner-up in the NCAAs, and you know, still moving into the sport, hasn't really fully established herself. But Leia Jansen is established as it gets, and so to take down those two players and Lane Sleeth comfortably from a complete random is that, let's go. I mean, that's what it's all about.
And who are you training with in Idaho in singles, unless you're training with Tyson?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't know. So she's doing that without that, you know, kind of
high level crew
like, yeah, to improve quickly. That's impressive stuff. So hopefully we get to see her.
Usually you only see results like that from somebody that's new, that's been practicing with a high level crew. So that's it's an even more impressive.
Right. A lot. I mean, and what happens is a lot of the singles girls will just practice with like four or five guys or something like that in their home place. So to not have those assets at your disposal and still make a run is very impressive. And Salt Lake City doubles. We have to talk about Gabe Tardio. Double gold for the young man. It was such a cool post by Frank Anthony Davis. 15-year-old Gabe with the glasses, weighing
like last year.
Yeah, weighing like 96 pounds, you know, just like beating.
He weighs 111 now.
Absolutely hilarious. So, I mean, just looked fantastic. Jesse Irvin played well with him, but they beat the Johnsons, and then they win gold. I mean, this is big time stuff. And Andre Deescu and Gabe taking down some heavy hitters as well. So Gabe definitely had him a day, and
escaping some tight ones. I was messaging Andre, and I was like, dude, can't you win a game in two games? What are you doing?
Yeah, they had some
12-10 early rounds that they easily could have lost. But that just shows you the margins, right? You know, they could easily have lost in like the quarters, but you got through them, and then you win the gold.
Yeah, multiple of my medals, you know, most of my medals were bronze and silver, but I can't tell you how many times I won a medal where I almost lost in the second round, like that, you know? And you just never know when your run's going to come. Even if you feel like you're not feeling the ball well, just dig deep, get that dub, and it can turn around so quickly. So, congrats to all those players. It was fun to see the matchups, and I actually ended up going out to dinner with Tardio, Hayden Patrick Quinn, Jesse, and Anna at a steakhouse, and it was hilarious. So just like they just like bring me back to my 14-year-old self. Like the rare times that I've hung out with Hayden and Gabe, you know, they're just being goofy. They're just doing their thing, just being 18. It was just absolutely hilarious to get to celebrate with them, and you know, practically brought me down to potty humor level, you know. But it was like,
guess I have to talk about farting.
Right. So, but it was just like energizing, like brought me back to, you know, some of the, it's been so long since I've, you know, hung out with you know, people of that
teenagers.
Age. It was invigorating. It was invigorating. It really was, and a lot of fun. Yeah. So, congratulations to all of them. And, I mean, great run from Jesse Irvin as well, who's been a little while for her, but, you know, to play very well. I mean, she was lighting up James pretty nicely in the finals. So she was not just playing a rock role. She was sending it with speed ups, to a variety of positions on James, and I think she was over 50% on her attacks. So, nice team win for them, and nice to see the new blood making deep runs.
Yeah, agreed. Who does is Tardio playing with Andre again as well as Jesse?
Yeah, I know he's running it back with Jesse. I'm not positive on Andre, but I think also Andre here at this tournament. So. I'll take a look at the draws and find that out, but it's a tough team. And really the thing with Hayden and Gabe, they always had good offense, but they just don't miss anymore. Like the soft stuff is
there's
clean.
No random misses.
Yeah. I'm not.
Yeah. Used to have some random misses.
Oh, a lot with the soft stuff. And I'm not going to say that they're high level decision makers, but their decision making is fine. So their decision making is fine. They have the elite skill sets and they don't really miss anymore. That's a, a combination to be a pickleball player with. So I love watching.
And they talk good.
Yes, they do. They do. Like put it all on there. So I love watching them, and I think that they're going to be running into semifinals and championship Sundays a lot moving forward. And
it's hard to say that they should be the face of the sport necessarily, because they're,
it
I mean,
kind of is.
But I mean, like, as the up and coming, like being 18, like that is kind of, you know, it's not going to be somebody in their mid to late 20s or 30s of
right.
Who's the future of pickleball, right? It's these eight, it's like the teenagers. Only reason I'm laughing is because I'm just picturing like the face of Tardio being the face of the sport, and it's pretty funny.
It's very funny. And and Patrick Quinn and Tellez had match points against them in the semifinals. That was one of the best matches of the year. The semifinal, Patrick Quinn, Tellez, Tardio, Deescu. It was super high level. A lot of points won, only a handful of unforced errors, like serious heavy handed exchanges between all four players. That is good stuff. But I agree with you. That is, it's not, you know, Andre is not the face of pickleball. He's 36 right. years old. It's even though his talent is very high, it's not going to be someone like that. It's going to be a teenager, like you said. And I mean, Hayden and Gabe. Can you just imagine that is the face of pickleball, Hayden and Gabe? Let's go, boys.
No, but I think you're absolutely right in terms of that's who it should be. Just Gabe Tardio's face on a poster, you know, nothing else, just his face.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think this is a perfect place to stop. Gabe, just with the thought and the vision of Gabe Tardio's face just on ESPN or something like that as the face of our sport. What a spot to end it.
And this, the ending of this YouTube video needs to be just his face. And just it also needs to be probably the thumbnail as well. So guys,
let's Selkirk, make that happen.
Selkirk, let's do that.
15-second rollout of just Gabe Tardio's face. Just as the face of pickleball. Let's go.
Oh, love you, Gabe.